Good evening. I'd like to welcome everyone to the gospel meeting tonight. I have with me here a piece of hell. I plucked this from the lake of fire. The meeting tonight, it's not going to be entertaining. You may hear some things that aren't very nice. But as I look at you all look pretty nice. And I think I'd let you into heaven. But I can't see down into your heart. And so I don't know who I'm talking to tonight. But the gospel message goes out to whosoever. And if there's anyone in the room who doesn't know the Lord Jesus as their Savior, I'm talking to you. You know, your parents are praying for you. Your grandparents are praying for you. Your friends are praying for you. I knew a young man, knew him all my life. He was raised in a Christian home, just like you. He sat in many gospel meetings, just like you. He came to Bible conferences, just like you. He said he was saved, just like you. When he was in university, he decided to live an alternative lifestyle. And he abandoned Christianity. He told me he's not sure there is a God. He has no room for Jesus in his life. He adopted a couple of children. And they don't even know who Jesus is. And he won't let me tell them about Jesus. Is he saved? I don't know. But I ask you, who am I talking to tonight? Am I talking to you? Do you know Jesus? I have a message of life for you tonight. Will you receive that which is really life? Do you have room for Jesus in your life? Let's pray. Our God and Father, we like to sing the first two verses of number 17. Have you any room for Jesus?
Have you any room for Jesus? Save you for the love of sin. As he knocks into temptation, sinner, will you let him in? Room for Jesus, Lord of
We've asked the question, do you have any room for Jesus? Now I ask you, do you have any time for Jesus? You are here tonight. And I'm glad you have taken the time to be with us here, to be with Jesus. Do you have time for Jesus? Let's sing verse 3.
Have you any time for Jesus?
I'm speaking to you tonight about the wrath and the love of God. I come to you today with the gospel of Jesus Christ, Christ crucified. And there are two reasons why Christ was crucified. One is the wrath of God, and two is the love of God. And I want to start by speaking about the wrath of God against the sinner. We have heard it said that God hates the sin, but loves the sinner. And that is true, because God so loved the world that whosoever could be saved. And whosoever includes all sinners, even you and me. And after we talk about the wrath of God, then we'll consider the love of God. And as we discuss the wrath of God and the love of God, I want you to get a feel for the experience of the wrath of God and the love of God. And I want you to be able to picture them in your soul. One day, you will meet Jesus. And on that day, you will experience firsthand either the wrath of God or the love of God. And this experience will not be a one-time occasion. No, this will be your eternal destiny. And after tonight, let us pray that you will be ready to meet Jesus. And before we get to the wrath of God, we need some background information. Because back in eternity past, God was thinking about people that He could share His love with. And He knew that people would not love Him. He did not want robot love. He wanted thankful appreciation and admiration for who He is and what He has done for the people and what He has done for you. Well, God put the people on the earth. And God wanted to love the people. And He wanted the people to love Him and obey Him. You know, this is a message that's very easy to ignore. It's very easy to talk with your friends. It's very easy to forget about God and just think about your own thoughts. I've done it when I was a child. I could look at the speaker all day long and not even hear a word he said. But tonight, you need to know that you will meet Jesus. The very first people that God put onto this earth was Adam and Eve. And God loved them, and He had a fellowship with them. He came down and visited them every day. But Adam and Eve, they turned to their own way, and they disobeyed God. They did their own will. And all the people that were born into this world were the same. Everybody turned to their own way. God made man in His image. In the image of God He made him. And that means man has a spirit so he could interact and communicate with God. And also Adam was made without sin in the likeness of God so that God could have fellowship with Adam. And in the process of time, Adam sinned against God. And at that point, he became a sinner, and sin infected his whole body. so that there is nothing good in him. And at that point, sin separated Adam from the love of God. In Genesis chapter 5 and verse 3, and Adam lived 130 years and begat his son in his own likeness, after his image, and called his name Seth. Adam had children who were born in his likeness. They were born in the image of a sinner, in the image of Adam. We are all descendants of Adam, born in the likeness of a sinner. So there's none good. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And sin has separated you from the love of God. But that's not fair, you say. How can I be born a sinner? I didn't do anything bad. Why should the wrath of God abide on me? But it is true. You are lost in sin because you were born a sinner. Your life as a sinner will go by very quickly. You are born as a baby sinner. And you grow into a child sinner. And soon you will become an adult sinner. And Job said in chapter 7, verse 6, he says, my days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle, and they are spent without hope. As you go through life without Christ and without God in this world, your days are spent without hope, lost in sin. You know, there was a nanny goat. It wandered away, and it got lost down by the dog food factory. The owner didn't know where the goat was. And while the nanny goat was lost, she gave birth to a baby goat. I ask you, was the baby goat lost? Yes, the baby goat was born lost. The baby goat died because it had trespassed with the mama goat. You are like the baby goat. You're lost in your sin, and your life is in danger of the wrath of God. The baby goat had no one to rescue it from death, but you are different from that baby goat. The baby goat died, and that is the end. You have a soul that will never die. And with your soul, you have an opportunity to be rescued from the wrath of God. What is the wrath of God? The wrath of God would be the righteous judgment of God against the sinner. We mentioned earlier that God loves the sinner but hates the sin. But let me tell you, if you reject Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, we read that He is angry with the wicked every day. God is angry with the sinners who reject His love and His mercy. In Romans chapter 9, Romans chapter 9 and verse 22, and it says, what if God, willing to show His wrath and to make His power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction? Well, God is not willing that anyone should perish in hell. That is why God has endured with you and with your selfish sin for so long and with so much long suffering. While God is waiting and giving you an opportunity to repent, you are busy ignoring God as you are fitting yourself. That is, you are preparing yourself for destruction, just like the verse says. You're preparing yourself for destruction in the lake of fire by your sin and by your disobedience and by your rebellion and by your selfishness. God's wrath is the righteous judgment of God against the sinner. And the sinner deserves the punishment that God has prepared for the unbelieving Christ rejectors who ignore the love and the compassion of God. in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, God describes your punishment. 2 Thessalonians 1, verse 8 and 9. In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. The flaming fire, that is the lake of fire, which was prepared for the devil and his angels. And in Matthew 25, it says, Then shall he also say unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. If you do not obey the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, you will experience the flaming fires of hell. I want to read in Luke chapter 16 the story of Lazarus and the rich man. Luke chapter 16. Starting at verse 19. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died, and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died, and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may tip the dip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that you in your lifetime received your good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and you are tormented. I tell you, there is no comfort in the fires of hell. The wrath of God will burn against you forever and ever and ever with no end. There will be no reprieve. There will be no end of the torment. You are a vessel of wrath fitted for destruction by your own rejection of Jesus Christ. When I am in Goma, Congo, in Africa, some nights I can look out over Mount Nyiragongo, and I can see the red glow of the lake of fire. On top of Mount Nyiragongo is a lava lake. That is, it's about 200 meters across and almost 800 meters deep of molten, red-hot, boiling lava. Lava, it's a molten rock. And the melting temperature of those rocks is more than 2,000 degrees Fahrenheit. It's about 1,100 degrees Celsius. And the rock is so hot, it turns into a fiery lake. Back in May 2021, the side of Mount Nyiragongo split from too much pressure of the lava building up inside. And the fire and brimstone flowed out the side of the mountain, and 17 villages were destroyed. 400,000 people had to be evacuated, and they were running for their life in fear and terror from the lake of fire that was coming towards them. More than 30 people did not make it. The lake of fire flowed down the mountain, melting houses and animals and people. There was one lady named Ernestine, and she stayed with her invalid husband as long as she could because her husband could not walk away. And the lava flowed closer and became very hot, and the sulfur made it hard to breathe. And Ernestine had to run while the river of lava consumed her house and her husband. The screaming of the people who could not get out of the way of the lava flow was heard in the terror of the night. That night, I received a WhatsApp message from Brother Gideon. He lives near the bottom of that mountain, just 15 kilometers away. And the lava was flowing towards their village. And he wrote me a message and he said, "Hello, brother. Pray for us. The volcano is erupting now. We don't know what to do. We don't know where to go. Only God can protect us." I have in my hand a piece of hell. This was part of the lake of fire that flowed down the mountain near the city of Goma. When the lava flows down the mountain and it cools, it turns into lava rocks like this one. Some of them are just small pebbles. Some of them are big boulders. But many of them are about this size. In February, I visited the assembly in Goma. And I went to one of the villages that was destroyed. And we spoke to the village headwoman. She was the chief. And she was standing on top of all the rocks. As the lava had cooled, it turned into all these rocks. She was standing on a pile of lava rock. And she said, "This is the spot where my house was. Only it was 3 meters down below the surface of all these rocks." The people were helpless. In her village alone, 8 people died in the lake of fire. The volcano erupted at night. Some people didn't get up and get out of the way in time. And as the rich man looked across the ravine at Lazarus, he was in the torment, in the flames of hell. I would guess that Lazarus could see the rich man in the midst of the flames of hell in his torment, as the rich man pleaded for relief. But there is no relief in hell. This wasn't even hell. This was Hades. This was the waiting place for you before, for the sinner, before he is sent into the lake of fire. And he was in torment in the flames there before he even got to hell. There's no relief. And hell is forever. You will have no hope of ever getting out. Hell is the wrath of God against the sinner. The wrath is the righteous judgment that you deserve because you are a sinner. And up to now, you have refused to submit your life to Jesus Christ as Lord. You have not believed on Jesus. You have not trusted Him as your Savior. As it says in Romans chapter 2, and verse 4 and 5, "You have despised the riches of God's goodness and His forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that it is the goodness of God that leads you to repentance." Verse 5, "But after your hard and unrepentant heart, you are treasuring up unto yourself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God." But you refuse to change. You refuse to be sorry about the wrong things that you have done. And so you are causing God to become angrier with you. And He will punish you. He will punish you even more on that great day. On that day, He will show how angry He is with the rejecting sinners. God will show what He has decided about you according to whether or not you have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, or if you have rejected. And if you have rejected, He will pour out on you the wrath of God, His righteous judgment against you, the sinner. And the wrath of God abides on you. You are condemned already. You will be bound hand and foot and cast. That is, you will be thrown with force into the screaming terror of the lake of fire as you wail in desperate hopelessness. you will know that you made a mistake when you did not get to know God. And you ignored Jesus Christ. And you did not believe. And you will find out that God does get angry with the sinner. And every day, His anger is building towards that day when you are judged and you are cast into the lake of fire. If you are one of the wicked that God is angry with every day, just before the millennium, if you survive the 7 years of tribulation, God will gather you together with all the other wicked people who rejected the salvation that was offered by Jesus Christ. And if they are still living, if you are still living on the earth at that time, you will be cast alive into the furnace of fire. That's where selfish people go. You did not want God. You lived for yourself in this world. So you will be cast into the lake of fire by yourself. That's who you lived for all your life. You lived for yourself. Now you must spend eternity with yourself. Alone. You won't even have friends to go with. You'll be alone. And there'll be nobody that will care. It's hopeless. It's endless. It's eternal damnation. Alone. In the darkness, with your conscience eating away at your soul, and you will suffer in the fires of hell. God prepared hell for the devil and his angels, and they tremble with fear, knowing that they will be judged by a just and a holy God. And they are afraid. Are you afraid of the wrath of God tonight? Everyone here who has not trusted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you should have a healthy fear of God and tremble like the devil and his angels. Because hell is your eternal destiny. Because you have refused to trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. But there is good news. There is good news because the wrath of God is not the heart of God. We never read in the Bible that God is wrath. We don't read that God is anger or God is hate. No, we read God is love. God is not willing that anyone should perish. And God knew that you would be here tonight. And He has arranged your life. So that at this moment, on this night, you would be here to hear the gospel of Christ crucified. The love of God planned before He created the foundations of the earth. The love of God planned that you would hear the message of the gospel of God's love tonight. The love of God took the wrath of God upon Himself so that you, the sinner, could escape the wrath of God. But this love of God, it cost Jesus so much. When we consider the magnitude of the wrath of God against sin and against the unbelieving sinner, it amazes me to find out that God the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. And God did that so that God could take all the wrath and all the punishment and all the terror that was meant for me to pour it out all on His Son, Jesus Christ. Oh, the love of God amazes me at how great that love is when we realize the extent of how big the wrath of God is and how bad the punishment of sin is and how fearful the terror is. The love of God is so great. It amazes me to find out that the Son of God loved me so much that He gave Himself to die for me, the sinner, when He knew that the big wrath and the bad punishment and the fearful terror would fall on Him when He was crucified there on the shameful cross. But Jesus could say to the Father in the Garden of Gethsemane, He could say, "Not my will, but thine be done." He could say, "I come to do your will, O God." God could ask, "Who will go for me? Who will go to the cross to suffer on the cross, to die for sinners?" And Jesus said, "I will go. I love you so much, I will go." And so Christ died for our sins. And He was buried. And praise God, on the third day the angel could say, "He's not here, He is risen. He's risen from the dead. Hallelujah! Jesus is alive. He is alive." Jesus is living now in heaven, and He's waiting. He's waiting for you to believe. He's waiting for you to put your trust in Him so He can give you eternal life. It amazes me to find out that God loves me with an everlasting love, and that there is no time in eternity past where God did not love me and where He did not plan for me to be His child. Even though He knew it would cost Him His life. Oh, greater love has no man than this, that a man laid down his life for his friends. But God approved the demonstration of His love toward us. And so Christ died for us while we were still sinners. God, who is rich in mercy, He loves us with such a great love. A love that is far greater than we can ever imagine. It is a love that passes our ability to understand. Sometimes we sing that song, "The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair," I assume that might be somebody like Adam and Eve, "they were guilty, bowed down with care. God gave His Son to win. His erring child He reconciled and pardoned from his sin. O love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong, it shall forevermore endure the saints' eternal song." The love of God wants to give you the life of God. That is eternal life. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." What an incredible love! God wants to give you that life. That life is His life. He wants to share it with you. "Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." I ask you again, do you have time for Jesus? You have opportunity right now to put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe Him. Trust Him. He will save you. Don't wait until it is too late. Trust in Jesus now. You can pray to Jesus now. You can say, "Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. I deserve to go to hell and to suffer because of my sins. I believe You died on the cross to take the wrath and the punishment and the terror of hell for me. I want You to be my Lord and Savior. Lord, I believe." There are a lot of Canadians who don't know Jesus as their Savior. But some of them, they know that You are here tonight. And if Jesus came tonight, before this meeting is over, all the believers will be called to go to be with Jesus. And we would hear the trumpet sound, and we would go immediately to be with Jesus. But you know, we came into this world with nothing, and we're going to go out of this world with nothing. And on the chairs of the believers, you'll find a pile of clothes. You'll find a Bible and a hymn book and a hymn sheet. You'll find some money. And on some of the chairs, you might even find some spare parts. A titanium hip. False teeth. Some metal plates and screws. Some pacemakers. And many pairs of eyeglasses. Those who wear contacts, the contacts will pop out. And those of us who have had cataract surgery, the lenses will fall out. We don't need these spare parts anymore. Let them go. In the twinkling of an eye, our bodies will be changed like unto His glorious body. But you have rejected Jesus up until now by ignoring the fact that Jesus Christ is Lord. You won't hear the trumpet sound. You won't go to be with Jesus. You will be sitting here in your chair alone because you don't know Jesus. You will look around the room at the empty chairs and the piles of clothes and spare parts, and you will know what happened. The neighbors might come in and say, "What happened? Where'd everybody go?" And you will have to, you have the solemn responsibility to tell them, "Mr. Roach said Jesus was coming, and it happened. Jesus came and took them all to heaven." And they might ask you, "Why didn't you go?" "Because I didn't believe. But it's true. It is true. Jesus came and left me behind." Your friend might say, "But you are all alone. Where will you go now?" "I'm going to hell. I'm going to hell." And you will have a certain fear that will grip your soul in that moment, because you will know that it is too late for you. You waited too long. And you will know that Jesus came and you were left behind. And there is no more chance for you ever to be saved again, because you rejected Jesus. John 3:18 says that he that believes not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And verse 36 says, "He that believes not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him." Jesus wants to give you life tonight. John 6:47. And here Jesus says to you, "He that believes on me has everlasting life." Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. You will receive everlasting life, and you will never perish. I want to sing the first two verses of number one. Or I guess there is only two verses. Almost persuaded, now to believe. Maybe you've considered what we've said tonight, and you realize that you need to get saved. You've waited too long, but you need to get saved. And as you're thinking that, you are almost saved. Almost persuaded. Let's sing number one.
Almost persuaded. Oh.
anticipated. Harvest is past, almost persuaded, doom comes at last. Almost cannot have failed. Almost is but to fail. Sad, sad, that bitter wail. Almost, but lost. Just like the baby goat, lost. Let's pray.